And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Go up and see them right now. Get yourself a new mower, new tractor, implements. They got it all in stock. And they're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call, 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! Yeah. And a little microphone challenge here. Free advertisement of the week goes out to Axner Excavating. I was chatting with Julie the other night at an event, and I thought, you know, we are so on the same page, all of us. They are at 2900 Old Oregon Trail in Redding, California. You can reach them at 530-222-0539, and everybody knows where they are. They're just right off of Highway 44 there on Old Oregon Trail. And they've got all sorts of stuff over there, lots of landscape material. I don't know where my neighbors are all getting it, but it seems like everybody's hauling in big rocks lately. Isn't it funny? Back in the day, you wanted to get all the rocks out of your yard. Now everybody's hauling rocks into their yard. There's some poor kid in the future who's going to have to remove all those rocks.
Every time I see him, lawn again. Can you get rid of these rocks for me?
God, I remember when I was in high school, we moved to Walnut Creek, and they had the rocks we have now in our yard. They look like Alpo. Those red dog food rocks, we had to shovel those dog food rocks out there. I thought, I cannot believe, as an adult, I bought a house with dog food rocks. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. Hey, you can find our house now pretty easy. It's the one with the dog food rocks. Oh, my gosh. Well, we are going to talk about the California Senate seat that's going to be available this coming election in 2024. And not to spoiler alert it, but boy, if you have not seen the recent clips of John Fetterman in the Senate, wow. Just, I mean, wow. And then there's old Adam Schiff, the guy that everybody loves to hate. And it just so happens our guest today is running for that seat. So, old Shifty Schiff thinks he's going to slide over to the Senate. Can you imagine? Good grief. He's so horrible in the House. He could go lie his way through the Senate. So Denise will be really nice. She'll say all nice things, and we'll be the we'll be the haters, I guess. So, we'll carry the hater role for you, Denise. So you don't have to be a hater, because it's not good to run for office and be a hater, you know.
My mother, raised in a Christian home, I was taught to be very gracious and respectful. And so, you know, when we talk about the fact I'm taking Dianne Feinstein's seat, and people say all kinds of things, I always refrain from saying anything bad about Dianne, even though she sat on the Senate Water and Power Subcommittee and has done nothing to end the tragedy that our farmers and ranchers are facing here in the state of California due to the lack of water infrastructure and the fact that it's illegal to have a rainwater capture system built on your farms and ranchers, and that's got to be changed.
Isn't that the craziest darn thing ever? We're not in a rush with Denise today, so don't worry that we're skipping ahead. But we should tell them your whole name so they can find you on the ballot. My husband's like, do the intro. So her name is Denise, D-E-N-I-C-E. She has the trick Denise spelling, and her last name is hyphenated. It's Gary Pandol, G-A-R-Y hyphen P-A-N-D-O-L, and that is her website, is denisegarypandol.com. And we have her connected up on our site as well.
Thank you.
You know, one thing, Denise, that I forgot to get like a bio from you.
Let's
do that. Can you do that for us? I looked on your site, but it was kind of more about issues, which is good because that's why we should elect people. But
Let me send that to you, Aaron.
Yeah. Give us a little snapshot, and I'll post that. You don't have to do it right this minute, but
I will do that. Would you like me to share a little bit with your audience?
Yes,
right,
please.
Now? Oh, okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, happy Sunday. I just appreciate being on We the People with Aaron and Bill today. It's just a blessing. I would like to say just a little bit about myself. I'm like a lot of people, worked their way through school, had to get some student loans to get myself through grad school. I have 2 degrees in political science. My advanced degree is in political science international relations, and that's my area of specialty, is foreign affairs. And so while I was working my way through school and praying that I have food to eat as I was going to school, I was offered an opportunity to go work at a think tank called Analytical Assessments Corporation. And because back in the day, the University of Southern California, unfortunately, it was an expensive school, but it was the only one in our state that had a school of international relations. And because I was so fascinated my entire life, I mean, since grammar school, I used to love the Weekly Reader. And I remember the Weekly Reader.
I totally remember the Weekly Reader. That was a hot deal back in the, I don't know when it stopped, but we loved Weekly Reader.
Back in the day, and it wasn't liberal and it wasn't woke.
No, it was just regular.
I was more into TV Guide.
your parents must have been rich. They bought TV Guide. Wow. That costs money.
Well, anyway, back to what we were saying. I just loved reading newspapers. I remember when my father was traveling, he brought back the San Francisco Chronicle for me to read when Abdel Nasser died in Egypt. Just international affairs, U.S. history, U.S. foreign policy, always interested in that. So anyway, I was invited to work at a think tank, and this think tank did studies for the President of the United States, because presidents like to, get information on possible scenarios if we're attacked or if we need to fight a war, just anything regarding national security. The CIA oftentimes will hire a think tank, or the Department of Defense, the State Department. And I'm sure a lot of people in your audience know this, but the cabinet-level offices, including the Treasury Department, they have intelligence bureaus, so to speak, or agencies within those cabinet-level positions, or offices, I should say. They have intelligence organizations, and, of course, every branch of the military has an intelligence side to their work, and of course we also have, in addition to that, 17 intelligence agencies. So we were busy information and working with top secret clearances to provide analysis on if this happens, maybe here's some possible scenarios you might want to consider pursuing. And we had a gentleman by the name of Dr. Abraham Wagner, who was the president, and if my memory serves me correctly, he was involved in Golda Meir's administration in Israel and the Mossad once upon a time. So, it was a very kind of exciting time. And after that, I went to work for Eaton, which was a multinational company. It's my understanding they've since been purchased. But Eaton, the company that I work for, was called Information Management Systems Division. And again, I was working with top secret clearances because we did a lot of things for the DOD. And so that's really been where my heart has been, my whole life. I taught at colleges and at the University of California, Irvine very, very briefly until I was too politically incorrect and wasn't invited back. I'm just trying to think, what else have I done? A Christian radio show, which focused entirely on U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, a podcast, as you are doing here today. So just done various things. I've done political consultant work, a variety, a host of things. So I started praying about back in 2021. I had been going. I was about ready to marry Philip Haney. Philip Haney was a whistleblower in the Obama-Biden administration. And the reason why he was a whistleblower is because the Department of Homeland Security was becoming increasingly corrupt under Obama and Biden's leadership. And the purpose of DHS was to protect the United States of America's borders, to prevent Islamic terrorists or any other nefarious criminal networks from entering the country. And Philip Haney, who wrote a book called See Something, Say Nothing, probably some of you, the people listening to this podcast will remember that book. He named names, and he was working on his second book. So anyway, he was found killed in Amador County in 2020. Mm-hmm. And as I was praying about running for office, I'm looking at how people's lives, particularly here also in the middle class, upper, middle, lower middle classes, was deteriorating. So there, I'm looking at all this corruption under the Biden administration and DHS and FBI and DOJ, Department of Justice. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the economy. I'm looking at the fact that we're having and experiencing food shortages around the world, and we don't have the water infrastructure available, even though Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats have been sitting on the Senate subcommittee for water and power for years. I'm looking at all that. I'm looking at the fact that every time it rains, it's illegal in our state to have a rainwater capture system to save people money on their water bill. And we keep getting higher and higher taxes on our water bill. Our electric bills are going, just skyrocketing because, of course, Biden is destroying, and Newsom and Biden and every Democrat is trying to destroy the fossil fuel industry, which is the cleanest in the world. And why we would ever want to import dirty oil and gas from a foreign country, these human rights abuses against Christians and Jews and women and children and animals is abysmal, is really such a wrong approach to our energy policy in America.
Yeah, and you look at how much hydro we have in the state. If we utilize that and we didn't have to have this weird green power portfolio mix that discounts. I don't think when you were up here you had time to go to Shasta Dam, but if you haven't been there, next time you come up next month, you should take a look at it. It's enormous, and it doesn't count as green power. It's just...
Well, honestly, I want to make this clear to your audience. There's no amount of hydropower, there's no amount of solar farms or wind farms that's going to be able to run the electric grids in
true.
California.
Absolutely true.
So it's just, to me, it's irrelevant.
Except that we're being forced to buy wind and solar to fit our green portfolio, which drives our cost up further. I guess that's the only thing. It isn't that it's the only, that's a standalone power, but...
No, and then they want to take away a lot of the hydro.
Which is backfilling.
That's going to hurt.
And our rates used to be really, really low for a... Gosh, when we... I hesitate to look now what we are, but we were... When it started to go up, it was like 13 cents a kilowatt hour. And that wasn't... And that was not adjusted for the time of day. Which was pretty great. And it was much lower than that previously. But then we were forced to have this... the proper mix, so that we weren't climate heretics. And by doing that, we wound up having to buy power that was so much more expensive. And that's not, obviously it's just...
That's not good for California. No. And it's not good for the nation.
No, it's just kooky.
So I want the voters to know that are listening to this, that as your U.S. senator, one of the first things I'd like to do to solve this problem, because again... Only oil and gas is going to be able to ramp up and ramp down the electric grid across this country.
Denise, before we do that, I just realized I I committed radio malpractice and neglected to look at the time. We've got to take a really quick break. We will be back in 2 minutes. Our guest is Denise Gary Pandel. She is running for Dianne Feinstein's seat in the U.S. Senate, and you can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us.
We're the children of explorers that came here from every corner, the adventurers that settled this land. We led the world, fought tyranny, touched the stars, brought liberty. Let's do that again.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely place. They're living it up at the Hotel California. What a nice surprise, what a nice surprise. Bring your alibis. Mirrors on the ceiling, they pink champagne on ice. And she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running.
Yes, isn't that about the truth? You can never leave. So, and the, you know, that kind of fits with the U.S. Senate seat, actually. Dianne Feinstein got in and seems like...
Kinda, she could never leave.
Kind of turned out like Hotel California. She got in. We can't get her to leave. Oh, my gosh. But, okay, back to water. I digress.
Well, can I just say,
yes?
as I want to give people hope in California... If they will support me, one of the first things I want to do is build the greatest economy in the world. And we've got to pay less taxes. We've got to get a bigger paycheck to the people of California and the nation and have more job opportunities. And one way we can do that is through water infrastructure. So we can do that because with water infrastructure, we can make that happen. More people will have more jobs because there'll be more food in order to be harvested, and more people working on those ranches in order to provide the kind of meat and dairy products that we use. California exports 400 commodities, not only to the people of this state, but to this country and around the world. We provide over two-thirds of all the fruit consumed here and around the world. We provide over a third of all of the vegetables. So what the people of California need is to elect Denise Gary Pandel for U.S. Senate so I can get legislation passed with other Republicans in the Senate and with Republicans in the House of Representatives that will actually take that $10 billion that we've already passed, money that we have available in our state, and actually break ground on these dams and reservoirs here in this state, but in other states. The entire western region of the United States needs more water and water infrastructure for the purpose of providing food. In addition to that, in the east, we need more water infrastructure because of flooding, flooding there, flooding here. If we had the kinds of dams and reservoirs needed, if we had had those rain capture water systems in place, this flooding that happened in California would have been averted. It would not have happened. So we need to get Denise Geary Pandel into the U.S. Senate so I can get legislation passed to make that happen. In the last 25 years, the people in this state have passed legislation 10 water bond issues, of which we're paying $30 million. Where is that money? Why hasn't it been spent on the dams and reservoirs that we're expecting to be built? But again, there's a level of corruption going on in this state that has to be cleaned up. The other thing I'd like to point out to your listeners is, and I think I talked about this when I was up in Shasta County earlier this last week, is things that the Israelis have been working on, like fog capture systems. I mean, we've got a lot of fog, just like Israel borders the Mediterranean. We border the Pacific Ocean. We could pull all the moisture out of the air and process that. That becomes 100% pure, clean drinking water. We'd have more than enough water. If we saved just... Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If we just say 5% of the melting snow from the Sierra Nevadas each and every spring, think about that, just 5%.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a stretch.
We would have more than enough water for an entire year. Year to year, the people of this state would have more than enough water for all of our needs. And I wonder how many of your listeners, Aaron and Bill, know that the Democrats have passed legislation here in California, not the federal level, but here on the state level, to cut off our water supply here in our cities, to our population. So people, for example, you and Bill, the two of you probably use over 200 gallons of water a day. You take showers, you might run the dishwasher, you might, wash a load of clothes, all kinds of things we use water for each and every day. Brush our teeth, get glasses of water, cook with it, etc. We use over 200 gallons a day. The Democrats passed legislation that prior Governor Jerry Brown signed into law, saying that in November of this year, we're supposed to be penalized for the so-called drought crisis in our state, and our water supply is to be cut back in our cities and towns to 55 gallons of water a day.
Wow.
So think you're going to be able to take a shower every day, think again. Think about how many times you're going to be able to flush the toilet. I mean, if households across the state of California are going to be penalized if they go above the 55 gallons of water per day, think what that means to the middle class and the working poor. I mean, it's a crisis. We have to get legislation passed on the federal level. Federal law trumps state law. And I don't care how many times they might sue me or sue the Senate or sue whoever they want to sue. We've got to make that happen because we have in our state more than enough water. There is absolutely no reason for water rationing. It's called proper water management.
Yeah, and at this point, we have, because we spoke about that when you were here the other day, just the idea that the environmental groups can sue over everything and get paid to do that. It's a terrific fundraising effort, but what's happening is it's just tying up the state. You know, the other thing is, besides the natural resources, we're losing our human resources in this state as well. You know, people are taking a look at, you know, what's my future here? What can I accomplish? Business owners, retired people. It was very interesting with the fires that we have had over the last, you know, whatever, few years. But with the really big ones, Paradise and Redding, but especially with the fire up in Paradise, because it was such a large chunk of one community. And what we kind of discovered in that is that if you were over 70 and you were insured, you took your money and left the state. And that's very telling. Very telling.
It is. So let's talk about that, but I want to finish water. So one of the things when I was over in Riverside, so when I left you in Shasta County, I was over in Riverside.
Oh, right next door.
The other night, and somebody said, what about D-cell? And I said, I just haven't got to it yet, so let me make sure I mention it. So there's fall capture systems that could be established with the money we have available. There's also D-cell plants. So the Israelis are constantly working on water issues because it's a big deal in the Middle East. You know, they need water, and everybody needs water. In fact, the Israelis are now exporting water. Think about that. Think of what I can do for this state to help create jobs by building more desalination plants. And the thing that I hope some liberals are listening to your podcast, because, you know, one of the first things liberals like to talk about is, well, you know, we're worried about those salmon eggs, or we're worried about the smelt, which is nothing more than a bait fish. You know, we're worried about, you know, the small fish and the eggs. Well, the Israelis have come up with new cutting-edge technology on their desal plants that will actually protect the eggs and small fish from being in any way hurt or destroyed. In Carlsbad, California, we have the world's number one rated desalination plant. Let's do a couple more. Reclamation projects. We can do reclamation projects. The Israelis have even come up with mobile reclamation units that literally can go to an area where there's been some flooding emerge and there's brackish water, and they can reclaim it and make it usable again. So reclamation projects. What else? I'm just there. There was something else I wanted to share. But at any rate, there is so much good that we can do in this state regarding water, and to make it easily and affordable, easily available and affordable and accessible to everyone at a low price. On deforestation, and you know, there's got to be proper forest management, because those dead trees, and there, you know, we've got to be able to go back to logging on federal lands. We've got to get back to a healthy forest management program that, of course, takes out those dead trees and shrubs, et cetera, and kind of help clean the forest so we can avoid these forest fires. I mean, President Trump, you know, our former president, spoke to Newsom specifically about that. And if we've got to legislate that, and the Bureau of Land Management will carry it out. You know, we just have to have policies in place that will be, you know, followed and adhered to. You mentioned being sued by the EPA. I want to address that, too. You know, one of the things, I was at an event for David Valadao.
We like him.
And he was talking about, you know, how we can balance the budget. And I appreciate him discussing that. And so he was saying how the Republicans in the House and the Senate are looking at how to achieve that. Well, one of the ways to achieve that is, of course, working tirelessly and doggedly at deregulating the economy. How do you achieve that? You achieve that by getting rid of organizations, bureaucrats, and bureaucracies like the EPA that, as you were saying, will be suing suing me or suing everybody else
sure.
that tries to build water infrastructure in our state. Eliminate them. You know, think about the money. Let's explore that for a moment. Think about the money we could save the taxpayers of our state if we began eliminating organizations like the EPA or, you know, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan wanted to eliminate the Department of Education. Think about CARB, the California Air Resources Board. CARB is a bunch of unelected bureaucrats that were assigned their position by Democrats. And what did they just tell the farmers who are having a tough time right now because they've had to buy water? They're telling them, guess what? You know the tractors you use for farming? You've got to get rid of them. You've got to buy an electric tractor. Well, how is that going to work?
In the field,
trying to do your job to deliver food to the markets and restaurants of California and the nation and the world, and you've got to get rid of your tractor and go buy an electric tractor, and in the meantime, you've been trying to truck in water, and it's been impossible, so you've had to plow under your crops, and if you're a rancher, you've had to slaughter your cattle. I mean, my word.
Yeah, can you imagine a tractor that runs for 45 minutes but takes 7 hours to charge?
Exactly, and the whole thing's going to be made out of products that come from petroleum.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we touch has some kind of petroleum in it, it seems.
Well,
think about the thousands of uses of petroleum. I mean, my goodness.
You know, it's interesting that the list on petroleum kind of is right up there with the list of things that are with cattle. I went to a cattleman's thing quite some time ago, and they were talking about all the things that were the byproducts that were made with the byproducts of cattle. And I was like, all right, tell me the thing that's like the thing I don't know, the one that nobody's going to guess. And they said, how about tires?
Well,
yeah. I was like, tires? Yeah, even tires.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All these things do go together.
Right.
So on the water issue, you know, we've allocated federally, we've allocated money for Sites Reservoir.
Yes, sir.
But it's hung up at the state level. So
why is that?
How do you plan on getting the state to move off the dime and start using some of these resources and developing these projects that, like Sites Reservoir, get it going? I mean, you were right.
How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do that?
You do that by mandating. It's called a mandate. So the federal government passes a law saying this is your mandate. So every state in the union has to use monies available in their general fund or whatever funds are available to actually build water infrastructure to avoid flooding and provide food in order to support our farmers and ranchers and our communities. So it's a mandate, and they have to do it. And they have the money to do it. We have the money to do it on the federal level. It's just got to get done. And if they don't like it, they'll probably try to sue. But I think what would be really a good thing to do, as I'm working on building a coalition in the U.S. Senate to get that legislation passed, is to work at defunding any bureaucratic agency like the EPA, like CARB, the California Air Resources Board, like the California Water Board. In the Constitution, there is nothing about bureaucrats or bureaucracies. These are not elected positions. These are bureaucrats that have been hired usually by Democrats to push through their agenda. And I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with that.
Well, a lot of it has turned into sort of a, you know, they've created these kingdoms, and in their kingdom, there's really no one to rein them in except the president or the governor because they're executive branch. But
don't you remember President Trump, our former president, and was working on deregulating the economy
yes.
by destroying regulations that were bad for business.
Yeah, and that doesn't seem to ever be a factor. I know that there has been a push to put in legislation that the economic impact, I know we tried with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that they had to weigh in on what the economic impact would be for the area that would be affected by their decision. And, you know, it's one thing about living in a really big country. Some of the issues, it's hard to get support because people don't live in places where that's a thing.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of
food's a thing, Aaron.
I know. See, that's what they have to see. They really have to see that. It's like they're all kids. They think food comes from the store. We have to take a really quick break, but we're going to come right back with Denise Garipandel, and we're going to continue talking about this. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
Woke up this morning, what did I see? A big black cloud hanging over me. I switched on the radio and nearly dropped dead. The news was so bad that I fell out of bed. There was a gas strike, oil strike, lorry strike, a bed strike. Gotta be a superman to survive. Gas bills, rent bills, tax bills, phone bills. I'm such a wreck, but I'm staying alive.
Who would have known that the Kinks would predict the future? That seems almost impossible. And yet it has happened. Oh, my goodness. I'm so easily distracted. What were we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about bureaucracies and
how we need
to get rid of most of them. Because they're entrenched, and it doesn't matter who we elect. The bureaucracies never go away. They're not affected by the elections like we would like to think they are.
No.
The electeds get in there, and then they have to deal with these same people.
Well, I want to push back on that, Bill.
Do it.
So,
do you want me to shove him? I'm right here in the studio. I could do that.
Go ahead and give him a little push there. I'm pushing back on that, Bill. Because one of the things we were talking about before we went to break was Aaron said, well, as you push back on these bureaucracies, you know, some people don't seem to understand in the rest of the country where they have more water and water is easily available and accessible and cheaper. They don't understand the concept of food shortages. And that's why it's my job, it would be my job to get out there and educate the public. And that's called getting on all the news shows and saying, this is what's going on. We're having emerging food shortages. We not only feed ourselves, but we feed the world. If we want to prevent starvation that's already beginning to happen and food rationing that's already happening in our allied nations. And that is true, ladies and gentlemen. Our allied nations, including Great Britain, which includes England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, so I don't go along with what Bill said. Well, it doesn't matter who you elect, or you can elect somebody that you think's good, and you still have these bureaucracies. Well, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we can tie the hands of bureaucracies. One way we can do that, I believe, is I will work to get legislation passed that will prevent federal dollars from going to any bureaucracy, any organization that's working against jobs, the creation of jobs, and building up the United States economy and making us food independent and making us energy independent. Anybody that gets in the way of that, and the only people that get in the way of that are these Democrat-run bureaucracies, let's just defund them. We just have to defund them, and we have to work to eliminate them. And I believe that we can get legislation to do just that. It's going to take an education campaign, but isn't that why people get on the news? And that's why U.S. senators and people in the House get on television and on radio and on podcasts, and they start telling people around the country about things that are deeply concerning in order to build public support and get pressure put on other people in the U.S. Senate and in the United States House of Representatives to get these laws passed that are for the good of all. So, and small businesses in particular are the engine of our economy. And whether it's small business or big business, all manufacturing needs to be done here. And again, we can't have bureaucracies impoverishing the people of this state and this country and our small and large businesses through their over-regulatory regime. It's just got to end. And I believe if President Trump or any Republican president works with the legislature, and if we've got a majority in the U.S. Senate, I plan on getting elected, and in the House, we can get legislation passed so we can set people free. So that's my little pushback, Bill. It's gonna, of course it's gonna take work, but you know, we have to educate the public, and this is one way I'm doing it, is in asking if I can get on shows like yours to start talking about what we need to do. Let's build the next revolution, as Steve Hilton likes to say. Let's get some things done in our state. And can I ask people to go, you know, I'm running against Adam Schiff and Katie Porter. They're in office. They have quite a bit of money. I need quite a bit of money because I need to buy airtime. I need to buy signs. I need to rent billboards. I need to get ads.
Yeah, and running in a state like this is brutally expensive.
It's brutally expensive, and I need your help. So would everybody go to Denise, D-E-N-I-C-E, Gary, G-A-R-Y, Pandel. Please let me know that you're loving what I'm saying today and make a contribution. On my website on WinRed, you can go directly to WinRed and donate today. It is safe. It's secure. It's the same fundraising platform that our former president used and still uses and that Speaker McCarthy uses. I want to lower taxes. I want to get people back to work and having a paycheck that actually pays all the bills. You know, when Biden came into office, inflation was 1.4%. We've got so much inflation now because of the water issues and the flooding and because of the fossil fuel industry. And I'd like the people of our state, and especially liberals, to understand we are so clean at producing oil, gas, and coal here. I want them to understand how vulnerable... Let's think about this in terms of the environment, in terms of the economy, in terms of national security, in terms of, you know, just the whole humanitarian issue. So fossil fuels provide synthetic fertilizers. Synthetic fertilizer has staved off starvation for generations here in America and around the world. So if people, those that are really into farming or ranching, if you've listened to farmers here in this country and around the world, they're saying that it's getting harder and harder and harder to buy synthetic fertilizer. What does that mean? That means their crops are at risk. What does that mean? That means their crops will be plowed under. What does that mean? That means food shortages and starvation.
Yep.
So oil provides synthetic fertilizer. So that has prevented starvation globally for generations. Number two. Environmentally speaking, since we're getting so much of our oil from the Middle East, environmentally speaking, that is so dirty. Why would we buy dirty oil from Saudi Arabia and Iraq or from Canada or Mexico? Why would we buy dirty, filthy oil and natural gas from any foreign source, when we can, we produce it more cleanly than any other country. Why is that? And oh, by the way, why would we also pay to have those dirty oil tankers come all the way from the Middle East to California when those oil tankers are so dirty and pollute the air and pollute the water? Why? Think about that, Democrats. Think about it, you environmentalists. I'm an environmentalist. Bill and Aaron, I'm sure, are environmentalists. We all, Republicans, want clean air. Republicans want clean water. If you want clean air and you want clean water, why would you have a dirty oil tanker from some other place in the world bring us oil to California when we produce it far more cleanly? Secondly, there's a little thing called carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration, CCUS, or just plain carbon capture. Think about this. We can now capture the oil companies. If they weren't taxed to death, they might actually have some capital available, which they don't, but they might have some capital available to capture, carbon capture, capture the emissions off an oil rig or an oil refinery. Wow. Okay. How clean is that? No more greenhouse gas emissions. We can process it. Oh, and guess what? We could make some money here in California by selling that captured carbon that's been processed to a poor town in some third world country where now they can use it on an electric grid so that those poor people can move out of their huts and have a house with electricity and maybe, like, move into the 21st century.
Yeah.
We can make money off of that. Let's talk about the Salton Sea here in California. Why are we buying batteries from China? We've got to bring all the manufacturing back to California and the United States of America. It's a national security issue. We shouldn't be trying to get our batteries and chips from some other country. The Salton Sea right here in California produces, I mean, we have lithium ore. We have lithium ore right here. Let's manufacture our own batteries. Let's look to other places in our state and in our country. Talk about jobs. Talk about the just building our economy and making more Californians prosperous. You know what's going to happen, Bill and Aaron, is more people are going to move back to California.
Yeah, I mean, if it didn't cost a fortune to live here and you could make a living and it didn't right. cost a fortune to live here, you know, people people would. But it's interesting. A long time ago, we interviewed a guy. His job was to relocate businesses. So if you wanted to open a factory in Ohio, but you were currently in California, he did all the homework and figured out how you were going to make that happen. And the bulk of his job was bringing people into the businesses wanted to come to California. And the next time we interviewed him, businesses were starting to leave. We interviewed him a third time, businesses were flooding out. And like 2 years ago, he left the state too. And I thought, wow.
So how can we fix that? We can fix it by doing the very things I talked about in getting legislation passed. But what else? What else can we do? We can get legislation passed to lower the corporate tax rate. So under the former administration, the corporate tax was lowered below China's corporate tax. Let's do it again. Let's entice businesses to come back to this country and entice them to come back in California by making the corporate tax rate lower. And let's do this. Let's get Denise Geary Kendall elected to the United States Senate, and I will work night and day to help small businesses deregulate these small businesses so they don't have a mountain of paperwork that they've got to fill out, and so their taxes are far, far lower so that they can actually make some money.
Yeah.
And we don't need to keep raising the minimum well, the minimum wage either.
It just drives everything up. Everything goes when oil and gas are high. We're going to have to take a break for the news, and we're going to come back. So got a few minutes to take a breather. Our guest today is Denise Gary Pandel. Everything for her is on the website, including the donate page, and that is at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.